Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cross Pollination with Matt Harrington, a 30-minute podcast focusing on young leadership and the skills needed for tomorrow's workforce. Cross Pollination works to connect ideas, concepts, and strategies from various thought leaders and share those insights with the world. Now, here's your host, Matt Harrington.
Good Saturday afternoon, everybody that's tuning in to another cross-pollination episode. This is episode 16, and we're focusing on millennials and branding. So again, the 15th of every month, we try and bring you something new, a new person that we want to highlight, somebody that's doing something pretty innovative in the industry, whether that be teaching, education, media. And usually there's a millennial bent to it. So we've got a very exciting show today. Somebody I've been trying to get on the show for quite some time. I've been keeping an eye on him, and I think he's been keeping an eye on me. It's Jacques Bastien, and let me read you his kind of rap sheet because it's extremely impressive. I feel like I'm reading kind of a Fast Company profile here, and so I was very excited when he said he'd join me. But today we have Jacques on the show. He is a millennial marketer, hustlepreneur, professor, speaker, writer, designer. He is founder of Boogie, Breadcrumbs, and Often Pick. And he's joining us today on Cross Pollination. The founder of Boogie, which is a disruptive social media and viral marketing agency, it helps brands engage with millennials through photos, videos, music, and conversations. Jacques has offices in Albany, Brooklyn, Los Angeles. He is also a partner, investor, founder on a few other startups, which include Case Up, Breadcrumbs, and Often Pick, which we mentioned before, and then What the Fee. Jacques' passion is right around technology, startups, entrepreneurship, fashion, and social media. He runs a blog called hustlepreneur.co, and this helps to inspire, motivate, and educate other young entrepreneurs, something right up along our alley here, which we love. He is currently writing a book with his wife about young relationships. This book will feature stories from their relationship as well. Just this past week, Jacques was a featured speaker at Startup Grind, which is powered by Google for entrepreneurs, and he was featured kind of as an up-and-coming entrepreneur to watch. So I'm very excited and want to give a big welcome to Jacques. Jacques, welcome to Cross Pollination.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for inviting me. I'm excited for today.
Great, great. Jacques, just give us, I mean, that was a pretty extensive rap sheet, but give us a little bit of background. You know, if I left something off, kind of what makes Jacques Jacques? Give us a little bit of background and where you kind of hail from and what you've been up to lately.
Sure. I was born in Haiti in 90, and I came to the U.S. in 2000, so when I was 10 years old, didn't speak any English, still learning. So I came here my fifth grade, and in 2008, so 8 years later, I moved to Albany, New York, upstate, to attend UAlbany. And I always consider that to be the kind of moment where I kind of realized who I was, right? So, you know, as a young man, you know, high school and things like that, I was just doing a bunch of different things, trying to figure out who I was. So, but it wasn't until college that, and not only college, but moving away, right, moving away from my immediate surroundings, which was in Brooklyn, that allowed me to kind of see more out of the world. And that led to me, you know, exploring my entrepreneurial spirit that I've always had, that I like to think I got from my mother, you know, who owned a bunch of things herself. And she was able to kind of turn, you know, an idea and take any idea and execute and turn it into, you know, a profitable business. So, I mean, that's like the background, really. You know, I'm very family-oriented. I'm an older brother, so I a lot of the things that I do are for my siblings, and, you know, but that's the backstory.
Cool. So, and maybe this kind of goes into that a little bit, but if we were to go back, again, you've got a great you're doing a bunch of different things. You're launching companies, you're investing, you're part of a marketing company. You're writing a book. I mean, that just doesn't come from everybody, and everybody can't do all those things. So I think it takes a unique individual to do that. If we were to go back in time and look at kind of Jacques at 6 years old or 8 years old, if we were to go back and visit you as a kid, what were kind of the elements or the environment or the core values that you kind of were instilled with as a kid, and how does that help you today as you're kind of building up all these different companies and doing your stuff?
Sure. I think, you know, one of the questions that a lot of people ask me is, you know, how do I balance all this stuff, right? And it's because there's so much time in the day, right? So I think, you know, when I was in Haiti, I'm used to, you know, my parents were hard workers. My father is a hard worker. So that's kind of all I knew. And not only hard workers, but they were also really smart people, right? So there are people who like to work smart, right? And there are others who like to work hard. And my parents instilled in me the way of working smart and hard, where you're getting four times more done in an hour than the average, you know, when you're conscious about every decision you make to the minute. So, for me, my background being in Haiti, where you kind of have to work a little harder than most, you have to wake up a little earlier, you have to stay up a little later just to be able to feed your family. You know, we're talking about, right now we're hungry, we go to the supermarket, right? And we can go buy meat. In Haiti, we're hungry, we have to go almost hunting and get chicken to cook. And that process itself takes some time. You may have to go, you know, hunt today for a meal in 2 days versus, like, I can just go to Price Chopper right now and pick up meat, right? So it's just – so coming to America with all of those instilled in me, it was relatively easy to just outwork, right? So outwork the norm. And, you know, I think that's – you know, there's a lot of things that I can say, but I know that that's one of the things that had a huge impact in sort of what I'm involved in today. You know, I tell this story a lot. When I was in college, I used to wake up, you know, at 5 a.m. I didn't have class until maybe 4 p.m., right? So I would wake up at 5 a.m., and I would work the whole day until 3 p.m. I would go to class at 4 p.m. I'd have night classes, so maybe 4 till 8 or something like that. And then I would get back home, maybe eat, and get right back to work until 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. and just do it again, you know? So that's kind of what I was used to. And that was almost the norm for my body. And every time I got more sleep, I always woke up more tired, and like it just never made any sense. So, but a lot of it has to do with sort of just what I was used to, and you know, I'm very thankful for not having born here, just because, you know, a lot of things were challenges to me, even speaking English, you know. So, because speaking English was a huge challenge for me, communicating and kind of expressing myself was a challenge. So I had to think think more than most people about just the ways to communicate. I had to research more. I had to read more. And now it puts me in the position where now I'm writing. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of the things that I was not able to do that's allowed me to be kind of the person that I am today.
Yeah, and I think we run into that. It's kind of a scary thing if you are from America and you see how much hustle is going out there around the world, you know, and right. So for the millennials that are tuning in, you know, and that was me in college too. I mean, it was more, I was more scared of people like you, Jacques, coming and being able to out hustle. So that got me up in the morning as well. And so hopefully people hearing this, you know, and from an American bent, hopefully American millennials that are hearing this understand that, that there are no free lunches. You know, you've got to go out and you got to capture it. And so I really appreciate that story. I know you and I have talked before and talked a little bit about that, and I just think it's such a powerful story. Let's shift a little bit. I know you've got this great story. You've got a lot of things going on. But I also love the idea that you have a marketing firm that's really built around marketing to millennials. So give us the general philosophy of Boogie, and people can go and explore Boogie at weareboogie.com. But talk to me a little bit about the general philosophy. How do you set up Boogie? Why did you focus on millennials? And then how do you kind of keep that going? How do you keep your pulse on the market, on the millennial market?
Yeah, awesome. And that last part of the question was an even better one. So Boogie started out as Boogie Graphics, and Boogie Graphics was actually a part of Boogie Productions, right? And this is a whole funny story around that. But when I was in college, I kind of learned all of these different skills, video production, barbering, so I used to cut hair in my dorm room. I don't know if I should be sharing that, but so I used to cut hair in my dorm room, video production, photography, and a bunch of other things that I put under this umbrella called Boogie Productions. And fun fact, the word boogie came from a nickname that I was given because I used to break dance. So the fast forward version of the story is, out of all those companies, Boogie Graphics, which is the graphic design arm, was the most profitable and the one that I can see longevity in. So my junior year, I decided to invest my time fully on Boogie Graphics and growing that. And in 2014, last year, we decided to rebrand as just Boogie, because through the years, we've pivoted and changed and pivoted and added new team members. So we went from a freelance graphic design company to graphic and marketing, then to graphic marketing and web, to just marketing, to social media marketing, and to now being a millennial marketing agency focusing on social media. And what that means is we work with different companies, different all types, all sizes, to help them engage with the millennial audience. You know, we spend our days researching millennials. I mean, we're all millennials. I'm 25 years old. The oldest person at the office was just hired last week. So before him, I was the oldest person, you know. So, I mean, we're all just young people. He's 30 years old. Cool guy, too. So, but, you know, and that's really what it is. And we spent a long time being an agency we were not. You know, we're a lot of people say they're different. But we're truly a different kind of agency. You know, we only work 4 days a week. We don't work on Wednesdays. We truly value relationships and just human relationships. This you can see that with our team as well as the relationship we make with our clients. We handpick the clients we work with just because we don't want to mess up what we have going on here. And there's a lot of decisions that we make like that that makes us sort of who we are. But on a more specific, in terms of services, some of the things we do for companies and brands, they range from, you know, social media management, where we're posting on their behalf, but with a millennial voice and, you know, speaking to millennials, to creating online video webisodes, where maybe creating a 10-video series addressing a specific thing, right? So, or to web development, but focus specifically on communicating with millennials, maybe like, you know, we've had a lot of companies who hires us, and they don't just want a website. They want a website that can actually communicate with young people, that has the right technologies and things like that. And there's a laundry list. You know, we are a full-service agency, and that means we can do anything as long as the target for that client is young people.
Perfect. Great. If you're just joining me on Cross-Pollination, I have Jacques Bastian on the line. He is a millennial marketer, hustlepreneur, professor, speaker, writer, designer, and we were just talking about Boogie. And if you want to learn more about Boogie, you can visit www.weareboogie.com. Jacques also writes on hustlepreneur.co. So, Jacques, I guess a question that I always get asked, and I want to get your input or what you think, is that the millennial generation is kind of a span of 20 years. And so really our older millennials are about 30 to 35 years old right now. But we also still have some of the generation that is just coming out of high school. As you market to them, do you find that there's a great discrepancy, trends, what's cool, what's not cool between one end of the millennial spectrum versus the younger one? And maybe it's a double-edged sword in the sense that yes and no is the right answer. Sometimes, you know, we had MTV and maybe MTV isn't cool anymore, or there are things that kind of span across the generation for the whole millennial generation. What are you finding when you brand and when you market do you find that it spans across 20 years, or do you have to make some discrepancy?
Definitely a lot of differences. I will admit there are also a lot of similarities. You know, I think and I don't have the experience of the millennial in the 80s, right? I mean, I was born in the 90s. So I only know, and I mean, technically, I won't even say the 90s because I was, you know, in 2000, I was 10 years old, and I didn't think about all these things, right? So, I mean, I guess it's more sort of nowadays, right? So From what I've seen, there's a huge difference between the 18-year-old and the 34-year-old, but there are also a lot of similarities as well, where they almost, you almost can't tell them apart, right? So a few things that, and this is, you know, something I was actually looking into the other day. One thing that I've noticed just in general, millennials are, and this is the whole spectrum from 18 to 35, I'm seeing a sense of more responsibilities, right? So not only taking more responsibilities, but they're just naturally more responsible, right? And I don't know if it has anything to do with the entrepreneurial kind of wave going on right now with the Mark Zuckerbergs who are owning huge companies, you know, or dude from Snapchat. I mean, all these companies we were swearing by today, you know, they're owned by dudes under 25 years old, you know? So I don't know if it's, because of that movement that's happening that is forcing us to sort of, you know, it's almost like embarrassing, right? So to not be doing something at 25 versus back in the day when you can be up to 30-something years old and still living at home. So there are a lot of similarities in the sense of responsibilities. But there are also a few differences, right? So the older millennial is obviously a lot more responsible. You know, I've noticed that. And this may be just on an East Coast thing. I know that marriage is a bit more important now, right, than it was back in the day. You know what I mean? So there's a few things that we're seeing. And one thing we try doing is we try to get not only the perspective of people here, but also people in the West Coast and people kind of all over the place. You know what I mean? But I think to answer the question, there are a lot of similarities and a lot of differences, but I'm very happy with the there's a lot of things that millennials are, the negative stuff, like we're loud or disruptive and, you know, some of those things. And I'm happy to see there's a trend of us being more responsible that's coming, us being more, you know, we care about the future more. So that's a very big trend that I'm happy to kind of have seen.
Sure. I mean, and I'm sure that even transcends into other organizations. I mean, look at the social responsibility, look at how much millennials are pushing back on companies that say you have to provide meaning in this world. You can't just be doing, the bottom dollar. I want you to be more than just the widget that you're putting out there. So I couldn't agree more.
Right.
And let me go into the next question because it's kind of part of this question, and it's Boogie. Not only markets millennials, but you are, I would say, like you said, there's not anybody over 30, 35 in the company. And so how does Boogie attract that young professional, other than just being a really cool company, but how does it attract it? And then what's kind of the culture that you put into it that helps you retain that young person?
Cool. So I think one of the better questions may actually be, how do we attract it, but also how do we attract that right millennial, right? Because there is that right millennial and there's that wrong millennial. Our agency, you know, the background story is, you know, I built the company, you know, with no investment and things like that. It was 100% risk. And, you know, I shared a story about how when I, when I signed my lease, I had $250 left in my bank account, that kind of thing. So, I mean, it was all hustle and risk, right? So because of that, there's a certain amount of people who actually can actually fit in our company. You know, we treat ourselves as underdogs, and we, you know, for as long as we exist, we're always going to be the underdogs. The goals of where we want to be, it's almost an impossible place where we're always going to have to work to try to get there. So with that said, we've outlined a few types of people that can actually fit and the ones that can't. One easy source of kind of just recruitment in general, since I teach a design course at UAlbany, it makes it very easy for me to just look at the class of 36 and sort of that 5-6 students that are just, you know, they're going to be something. You know, it makes it easy to just approach those guys, right, and just, hey, look, you know, what are you doing after? And so, but, that, you know, that's more of a tech and design side of things. And those guys are naturally talented, but obviously the attitude is something that we also got to look into. So some of the things that we found, and this is written like on our list of kind of who we take in and who we don't take in, is we're looking for genuinely good people. That is like a general thing for us. They have to be just a genuine good people. And there are a lot of different things we do to figure that out. You know, our whole recruitment process or our vetting process, I would say, probably takes about 3 weeks. We do things like, you know, we go, like I know the guy I just mentioned who we hired last week, it took about 3 weeks, right, for him to actually step foot into our office after the first interview. You know, we went to, we played basketball together. We went to the gym. We went out to eat. And a bunch of different things, right? This is all pre-hire. Just because our team of 10, you know, including him now, there's this culture that we have in there, right, that is so we're unapologetic about who we are, but you can rest assured that we're good people. We're really hard workers who put the project first, right? But we're also work as smart as possible. We know the importance of having a good time. We know the importance of doing what we need to do to smile and be happy. But we also understand there's a time for work, right? So we and a lot of it aligns with some of the values that we have at Boogie. So and we're one of those companies that definitely hires by our values. The four values are design, human, growth, and transparency. Growth is that person who knows that they want more out of life, you know. So, and those are some of the indicators we found from the people that actually belongs at our company. Design is somebody who just cares about overall appearance and being, you know, providing quality first and just being, and this is providing quality in their work and in just their presentation. Human is just what I said earlier, just naturally good people. And transparency, because especially the modern day business, you know, like we are today, it doesn't make any sense to hide anything. So even interns on their first day, they literally have access to everything about our company, from our financials to how much money we made yesterday, how much money we made last month. It's 100% transparent. And the same thing to our clients. They don't know how much money we make, but they, you know, they have access they have access to their project. So we invite them to work with us as we work on their project. So there's nothing we do for them that they're not there to see. So we can't, you know, there's no excuses of, you know, I don't know when you're actually working on this or when can I expect this. All of that is open to them from the moment they sign the contract.
That's great. And I love the idea that you take them out to basketball. I think that should go into a bunch of HR packets on how to hire people. I mean, but isn't that the truth? I mean, sometimes we build so many walls and structures and ways to do things that at the end of the day, I think you hit the nail on the head of, I'm just looking for good people to do work with. And at the end of the day, isn't that what we're all trying to do in our organizations? And so as we build these kind of HR structures that vet people and we look at things and they go through this long process, kind of like, how do you take them out to a couple lunches, see how they do in a basketball game, and if you like working with them and they show grit, then you know they're good for your company. We're kind of wrapping up here. We've got about 6 minutes left here, but I want to talk, to hear from you. I think it's awesome that you're kind of a professor too at UAlbany, and so that even gives you a little bit of a pipeline to attract young people. But I think that also gives you an opportunity to speak with young people and understand young people and kind of talk to them. If you were to kind of help people personally brand themselves, and you've been talking a little bit about it here, just even your trip overseas, what would you tell them? If you had one message to say to young people and encourage their personal brand development, what would it be?
That's a really good question. And it's a good question because you're asking for one. And being, as I mentioned, talking is something that I can just go on for days. So let me try to see how I can take that and just bring it to one sort of big idea, right? I'd probably say purpose. As soon as you kind of decide where you headed, you know, where you want to be, and even if it's it doesn't even have to have a timeline to it, even if it's like at some point in life, I want to be here. And it also goes back to our growth thing, that values that we talked about at Boogie. People who just want to consistently grow. You know, I think once you find your purpose and you kind of figure out what you want to do, it makes it easier to stay on track. And there are a lot of other, I mean, a bunch of other advices and tips that falls under the whole personal branding umbrella. Some have to do with physical appearance, two, just the way you carry yourself and things like that. And I wrote a few blog posts about that. But I think that, you know, one of the articles that I wrote about building the foundation of a personal brand, it talks about how the first thing you need to do is figure out, you know, what do you value as a person? What are you passionate about? And what can you do with that? And where do you want to be using those things? And once you figure that out, then whatever you do in between, as long as you make sure they align with those values, then you should be all right. So, I mean, that would probably be my number one tip and advice.
That's great. Good. Well, thanks, Jacques. If you're just joining us, I have Jacques Bastian on the line. We're just wrapping up the show. I have one more question for him. But Jacques is a millennial marketer, a hustlepreneur, professor, speaker, writer, designer. He is founder of Boogie, Breadcrumbs, Often Pick. And he's even writing a book with his wife. He was just featured on Startup Grind, which is powered by Google. So we didn't get to that. We'll have to have you back on the show to talk a little bit about how that experience was. But you can learn more about Jacques. He writes, he blogs. So you can find everything you need to know about Jacques at weareboogie.com and follow him on the socials. But also you can see some of his writing over at hustlepreneur.co. My final question, Jacques, for you today is, what's the newest, coolest app that you're using within the last couple weeks, if not month?
Newest, coolest. I know there's a few apps that the Audible app for audiobooks. It's not pretty new, but I just love reading. So that's one of those apps that's on every single day for me. Spotify, just because music runs my life and it helps put me in the right mood. And you know, a few other ones. If there's an app actually called Keezy, K-E-E-Z-Y. This is for the music lovers. It's a good sort of app that you can use to kill time and still be productive. And I'd probably just say last one is Mint Bills, M-I-N-T Bills, from Mint.com. They have this app called Mint Bills, and I just love it. It's one of those new apps me and my wife are using. It's like a sort of a notification for all your bills, and you connect your accounts, and you push a button, and it automatically pays them. So it just helps us stay on track. So those are probably like the quick fours I'll throw out there.
Nice. I have some people on here that can't think of one, and you gave us four. No, and that's what it's all about. It's all about the cross-pollination, the spreading of ideas, mixing and matching. Thanks so much, Jacques, for taking some time on a Saturday and coming on to cross-pollination. If you want to learn more about cross-pollination or our work with millennials, you can go to www.growingmillennialleadership.com. And Jacques, on behalf of cross-pollination, have a great rest of the weekend.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I had a great time.
All right.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Thanks so much.